Hey, welcome back to Dating Funnies. How is everyone? You know, it's been a couple weeks since I last podcasted, and not too much has really gone on in my crazy world. I'm not on any dating apps. In fact, I think I may have chatted before where I was a member of Match.com. I know I turned my auto-renew off, and yet they charged me again, so I had a dispute with them, and they have since denied me to even get back on there. I type in my phone number, and they say, nope, that phone number is not a valid phone number. I call them, oh, we'll have somebody get back to you. They never do. So, to me, that's the universe telling me to stay off crazy, Match.com. And I know there's been some successes on there in terms of relationships and people getting married, but such an exception to the rule for sure. I do want to say thank you to one of my listeners, apparently in the shoreline area of Seattle, that general area, northwest Seattle. She had emailed me and said that she missed my podcast. Look forward to hearing me podcast some more, so I greatly appreciate it. That. And she also went on to say that she had a friend that she thought maybe her friend and I should get connected. I thought, okay, why not? I'd be more than happy to meet somebody. You never know who you're going to meet, right? So, never heard from her again. I sent her back an email and said, hey, yeah, I'd be interested. Hey, I don't know if, you know, I end up starting to date someone and we have a relationship. I don't know how my podcast will twist and turn. Maybe for the good, maybe not. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine this podcast will last forever. Like I mentioned before, I did it for shit and giggles, you know, for the most part. Grins and giggles is the word. It's turned into, sadly, a shit show along the way. But then again, that's dating these days. It turns out to be a shit show for everybody. So, again, if you want to be a guest on the podcast, you're certainly welcome to email. If you have any comments, good, bad, or ugly, yeah, you can feel free to email me as well. I will share another story where I had connected on and off with this one lady I've known on and off for years. And we kind of get back together. And then, you know, her interest level, you know, I'm not trying to find reasons to say no. But, you know, I'm looking for a partner, someone to do things with, someone that I can bring into my life. And do more than just see them every now and then. But her whole deal seems to be circled around sex. So we agreed to get together a week and a half ago, and she just wanted to come over and hang out, have a glass of wine, and get naked. And I thought, okay, well, that's great. However, let's meet, let's go have dinner, let's have a drink, and then we go back to my place. Oh, you don't need that. I'll just show up at your place. And I know, you know, if I was 20, 30 years old, I'd like, okay, great, I'll just do that. You know, but I, for some reason, that just doesn't click with me. I dated a lady many years ago that I picked her up for a date, and we're heading to dinner. She said, look, why don't we just forget dinner? Let's go back to your place and let's just do it. Let's enjoy our time together. And we did that, but it was so odd to me because I was in the mindset of, hey, let's go on a date. Let's go have dinner. Let's go have drinks. Let's go to a show. I like to do things, you know. I guess they'd call me more of a demisexual type of person. Why I have to have an emotional connection? I'm just wired that way. Maybe as I've gotten older, it's even gotten worse. So, and this is the same lady that will text and everything back and forth several times, get together. And this is the same pattern year in, year out. And then she disappears. And last time this happened, she had some long excuse that she typed up the text and just forgot to send it. Did she ever look to see if I texted her back? Want to know, maybe text me. I mean, like, I sent people a text and I look at my phone. Well, did they respond? Did they respond? Nothing. So the same thing happened this last week. I sent her a text. We texted back and forth after she had come and gone. And then I sent her a text a few days later just to check in, see how her week was going. And that was a week ago. I hadn't heard diddly from her. And then she sends me a text today letting me know that she had forgotten to send her text response to me last week. Which, again, I think is odd. She sits there and says in her text, I'm sitting here wondering why you haven't texted me. And then I happened to look at my phone and I'd forgot to send it. Now, keep in mind, I understand that may happen, except I think we can all agree, and she's in her 60s, that we're plugged into our devices. It's a computer. It's a phone. It's a message machine. And she works for Instacart and Uber and Lyft, and so she knows how to use the cell phone. She knows when people are paying her, so you know, I'm just kind of at my end of this whole deal. I kind of tolerate it as someone to chat with on occasion, but it's becoming more of a nuisance to me than anything else. I don't really have anything really that can put a smile on your face or make you laugh, but I am going to share something with you, because as I sit back at home, like the other day, I was sitting at home, had a burn pile going at my home. I live on acreage, sitting there, sun came out, my back was killing me, all this work, burning all these limbs and bushes and stuff. Had a beer, and I sat there in my chair, going, wow, sure is nice and peaceful out here. Nice and peaceful with my home. So, you know, you got to get used to that. It's kind of nice. Although my home is such that I've had people in the past accuse my home of being like a museum. I keep my house nice, neat, clean. I keep everything orderly. I don't want to walk into messy homes. It's like when I get home from work, I don't want to look at a whole kitchen full of dishes, so I clean as I go. You know, I'm kind of that way. When I travel, my house is neat and orderly when I leave. When I come home, it's neat and orderly when I get home. It's just how I want to live my life. You know, my car is the same way, except on the driver's side. You know, I kind of get lazy about cleaning that. But as I was sitting home the other day, I got on Netflix. Started scouring around to see what could I possibly watch besides trying to find Golf or Two and a Half Men or something. And I found this little story documentary that apparently took place in 2022. And I'm going to read you a little bit about this. And I'm going to share this story with you from the standpoint of I've been trying to find someone to date and have a relationship with. I'm not into this hookup culture. Way too much work at my age. It's too much work for anybody, quite frankly. And we all are trying to do that. And we run into people along the way that because we want it so badly that we overlook the flags. You know, we don't pay attention to the green flags, you know, which we should. But we're blinded for whatever reason to the yellow, pink, and red flags. I don't know what it is about all of us that we just blindly go forward thinking, oh, things are going to be different or this is different. And I think it comes from this craving of wanting to be with somebody, the physical touch, the emotional touch, the connection, the emotional connection, that we tend to do things that put us in a bad spot without really thinking, or if our friends will say something to us and we dismiss it. And case in point, I'm going to read you a little bit about this. And if you've got Netflix, I would strongly encourage each and every one of you, men, women, however you identify yourself, to watch this, because I think it happens far more than we realize. I know when people all of a sudden change a narrative on me after I've only known them for a short while, I get my guards up. Of course, I've dated narcissistic people in the past, and they love bomb the hell out of you, and then they devalue you, and you know, the cycle goes on and on and on, and you keep thinking, God, if I love them more, they'll love me back. So let me tell you about this. This is called the Tinder Swindler. It's a British true crime documentary. It was released here, back in February. I just now got around to it. Tells the story of an Israeli con man, Simon Levy, born Shimon Hayut. That's Shimon Hayut. He used the dating app Tinder to connect with individuals who he then emotionally manipulated into financing and supporting his lavish lifestyle on the pretext he needed the money to escape his enemies. So this guy, if you watch the program, he shows pictures of this high billionaire lifestyle, Ferraris, Bentleys, Rolls, Gucci attire, private jets. And he'd meet the ladies on first dates in five-star hotels for coffee. And then he'd wine and dine them, love bomb them with flowers, you know, saying nice things, text messages, you know, reel us in, you know, tug at our emotional heartstrings. And, oh my gosh, the guy's good looking and he's very successful. And, you know, the same could be said about men with women. Oh my gosh, look at her. She's gorgeous. Look at, you know, she's got a great smile and she comes from a good background. She really wants to be with me. I mean, I recognize all this because I've seen it before. Not at the extent of a billionaire life cycle. But he travels around Europe, and I guess he's still doing it. I don't know. He presented himself as the son of a Russian-Israeli diamond mogul, Lev Leviev. And they're not related whatsoever, but he doctored up photos to show himself in a photo with this billionaire. So it looked like he was part of the family. He would connect with this woman. But he tricked them along the way into lending him money that he would never repay. He would charm women with lavish gifts and take them to dinners and private jets using money he borrowed from other women he had previously conned. He would later pretend he was being targeted by his enemies, often sending the same messages and images to each woman, indicating that he had been attacked with a knife, but that his bodyguard had saved him and was hurt. He then asked his victims to help him financially due to the breach of security, supposedly hindering his use of credit cards and bank accounts. The women would often take out bank loans and new credit cards in order to help. He would then use the money gained through the deception to lure new victims while essentially operating a Ponzi scheme. Later, he would pretend to repay his victims by sending forged documents showing fake bank transfers and then break off the contact with the victims. Sometimes he would go as far as threaten them and use manipulation to get money from his victims. It is estimated that he swindled $10 million from people across the world. Oh my gosh. So the ladies that were initially persuaded to send him money was Cecily, C-E-C-I-L-L-I-E, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name. She's over in Norway. And then Pernilla, who was, I guess, in Holland. And then Eileen, I tend to forget where she might be. She might be from Israel. These three ladies, three of many, were conned out of hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I bring this program to you to encourage you to watch it and to be aware and alert to when people are love bombing you. And it's great if you've been dating someone for several months, as I've learned, if you want to tell people they look nice, they smell good, you really appreciate the time, they dress really good, thank you for the flowers. But if they're doing it within the first week, first day you meet them, first month. I remember one lady I met for coffee, she was holding my hand, telling me how great looking I was. That's just not normal. Of course, I was dumb. Fell for it. It was nice to hear. It was nice that someone wanted to be with me after a long time and no one telling me I was a nice guy and easy to get along with. I get that we get roped in on this. So I'm kind of using this as a reminder to me and a reminder to you. It's great to go out, meet people, have fun, but take it slow. And when something seems odd, pause. Talk to your friends about it. You know, whomever you trust. But this one lady, sadly, the one in Norway, I mean, after the coffee date, then it escalated. He took her on a private jet. You know, then within a month, he's encouraging her to go find a place to rent. They would live together. And she was excited. I would have been excited. But she was duped into his storyline. And they felt bad that he was hurt, and he needed help. Trust me, ladies and gentlemen here, everybody that's listening to my podcast, trust me, if someone portrays themselves as a billionaire or a son of a billionaire, if they're in financial hurts and they're asking you for money, run, Forrest, run. If they're a billionaire family, then they have access to people that can loan them money, that they can get them money. Their dad, his dad, if it was true, could have written him checks for millions of dollars and wouldn't have put a dent in the family billionaire world. It's ridiculous. So when someone says and tries to give you photos, today I'm going to back up 100 steps. And I'm going to do some due diligence. As one of the ladies talked about, I think the one in Holland, what she initially did is she Googled the guy based upon the name that he gave her. And, yeah, the name he gave her was the actual billionaire. And then he sent her photos and all this stuff. So she started buying into that this is who he really was. And, you know, she did her initial due diligence. Good for her. But I think we have to pause when it doesn't seem normal, doesn't seem typical, that we should pause and Google people and dig up more information. And this is the exception to the rule. We had Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, he and his wife, Mackenzie, they got divorced. And she ended up dating and marrying a high school teacher of one of her kids. Good for her, good for them. Sadly, I guess in the last year they got divorced. But that's the exception to the rule when a billionaire marries a common person. Okay? Billionaires run around in different circles than the rest of us in this world. Millionaires run around in different circles than people that make far less money. And so they have connections to other people. And so they work within those circles because everyone wants to meet, greet, be around people that are similar to their likes and dislikes and tastes and lifestyles. That's just a matter of fact. If we're lucky enough, I remember meeting this one lady, never met her, chatted with her on the phone. Her husband was tied in with Microsoft. He died, had lots of money from his Microsoft days. And she had a lot of money, had lots of houses. And I just paused. And I did my research, and she is who she said she was. But it was so foreign to me to be able to date someone that's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. It's just like, great, you know, that's great. But how do you date someone? As a man, how do you date someone at that price point? When at the snap of their finger, they can have anything they want. Now, I could afford to take her out to nice dinners and nice bottles of wine every now and then, but I couldn't do it on the weekly. Don't think I could do it on the monthly either. But I could afford it, but not at that level. Not to say that she lived extravagantly, but my first inclination was, oh my gosh. And we never really pushed it to where I was love bombing her, she is love bombing me, but that would have just added to me stepping back a little. So I'm just encouraging each and every one of you, how large or how small my audience is, to look this up on Netflix. It's called The Tinder Swindler. And on these dating apps, we're just going to have to be very cautious. I know on my Tinder, I have Tinder, I have Bumble. I get a lot of people that say they're within 10 miles, 6 miles, 15 miles of my location. I swipe right on them. Next thing I know, I'm getting their spam email. Or I know I really don't live in the Seattle area. I live in Taiwan. I live in Russia. I live in the Ukraine. I live in Mexico. Well, I just block them. I'm not getting into that conversation. And if they sent me different photos and this and that, I'm going to Google those photos. You can take a photo and upload it and Google it to see if it's real or not. And maybe that's what, I don't know if the lady in Holland did that or not, but that's what I would have done, to see what Google sends you back on the photo, if there's a photo match. And I would guess today there would be a photo match because his photo is online now. And I commend these three ladies back there in Europe. They found each other and collectively decided we want our money back would be the best, which I don't think they got much of their money back, if any. But they didn't want this guy moving forward doing it to other people. And I guess that's maybe what I'm doing here today too. I don't want him to do it going forward. I don't want it someone like him, male or female, to do it to anybody else. It's sad enough that we pull on people's heartstrings and then drop them, try to use them, drop them, use them again, drop them again. That in itself is terrible. But now add to the mix that you can ruin somebody, potentially ruin somebody financially. Yes, shame on them for going out and getting the loans. They did it with a true and giving heart, someone that has empathy. But this poor gal, this poor lady in Norway, $250,000. She didn't have that kind of coin in the bank. The other lady in Holland, he wanted her to sell her house to give him money. Or is that the other? I can't remember which one, but it was one of the ladies. And she stood up, I'm not selling my house. And especially when she saw the link in what the lady in Holland and Norway published and saw that the same pictures he sent to them were the same pictures they sent to her. The same text that they sent, he sent to them, he sent to her too. So the guy's got a pattern, and now he's with somebody new, and hey, good for him. Not really. I feel bad for her. Hopefully she doesn't get roped into it as well. So enough of my preaching, but I just thought I'd share with you a thought or two on the challenges we face. It's hard enough as it is to swipe left, swipe right. Get fortunate enough to meet one or two people, and then out of those one or two people, will they really show up, and are they who they say they really are? Do they have photos? Do they match the photos? Do they match the lifestyle? Do they match the things that they say they're interested in? And are we going to be so gullible to believe everything someone says the first time you meet them? Keep in mind, you're meeting somebody for the first time, and the goal here, as I talked about before in previous podcasts, zero dating, meaning you're going to a coffee meeting. I don't even recommend alcohol anymore. No more wines. Coffee meeting to see if there's somebody that you would be interested in going to dinner with. And I would never, if some lady came to me today and on the second thing, said, look, let's have dinner in Barcelona. We'll fly on my private jet. We'll fly down to LA for private dinner. I would say, well, that's great, but that would be a no. Let's just have dinner here. Let's go have lunch at a local place to have lunch. Let's go somewhere where we could be seen and see. And if you want to take me in your private jet 6 months, 9 months from now, hey, I'll pack and go. Let's do it. But out of the gate, no. Like the one of the ladies shared in this documentary, her friends are saying, look, you can't do that. Suppose they're going to kidnap you. You know, that's a real deal for anybody. Why would we jump onto something like that? So I'd love to hear your thoughts. Love to hear other people, what they think about the Tinder swindler. And I know there's hundreds of stories like this all over the place. This one here, they work very hard to get the message out. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm hopefully you feel the same way. Again, this is Dating Funnies. Feel free to email me at datingfunnies. Thanks again for being a listener.